I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources. Welcome back, everyone. Final segment of Inside Sources today. Great to be with you. I am Boyd Matheson. Many of you know that math is not my thing. I'm actually horrible at math. We've talked about this. I often told my children that once they got past third grade, they were going to have to rely on outside help for math homework. But I do sort of have my own Mathesonian math method, you could call it. Mostly like the little numbers, you know, that you can add up real quick. But not just the 1 plus 1 equals 2 kind of little math. I'm kind of into a unique kind of math. My math incorporates the fact that some things count more than others. We've talked about that on this show, that not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted. So that's a different kind of math for you to be thinking about today. And people, of course, account the most to me. And when you actually count the seemingly insignificant things that individuals can do, there's this extraordinary, amazing multiplier effect that produces just magical, even miraculous results at times. Benjamin Franklin included a version of a proverb in Poor Richard's Almanac of 1758, by the way, in case you were wondering. And you may have heard it. It's a familiar little ditty. For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. And so that's one of those very small, very little things that added up. It went from a horseshoe nail to a horseshoe, to the horse, to the rider, to the battle, to the war, to the kingdom. So often when we look at that little proverb that Benjamin Franklin included in Poor Richard's Almanac, it's quoted in the negative. It's sort of subtraction kind of math. So failure to do some small thing ultimately ended in a catastrophic, kingdom-crushing result. But as we look back and as we've been reflecting a little bit as the pandemic's continues to wane, as things continue to open up, I keep thinking about the other side of that math. I've seen so many things and so many applications of this principle in the positive form. So if you kind of flip the script a little bit, because of the nail, the kingdom was saved because of this little thing. And it's individuals doing whatever they can that makes all the difference in my kind of math. Really interesting, Edward Everett, who most people don't know from history, other than some people recognize, that he was the politician who spoke way, way, way too long at Gettysburg. But he also redeemed himself a little bit. He is the one who said, "I am only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something." Or as Mother Teresa put it, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. And the thing that we really need to recognize and understand is that in this amazing country of ours, there are no small parts or players in the cause of freedom. We all have a role to play. Every person matters. Each person can make a difference in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our country. And I was reflecting over the weekend on, again, these little things that took place over the course of the pandemic the last year plus. And I reflected back on something that that took place when I was chief of staff in Washington and working in the Senator Lee's office. It was really interesting. We were able to be part of just this an amazing story. There was a family who had made a claim that there was someone in their family that had earned a Purple Heart, that had earned medals of distinction back to World War I. And his name was Mr. Encarnacion Trujillo. And like many of his generation, he didn't fight so his name would be in the newspaper or be recorded in the history book. He fought so his children could pursue their dreams and write their own histories in a land that to him had become this land of opportunity. And here's the story. Here's what was uncovered by just amazing caseworkers. There are staff members in Senate and House offices that you will never read their names in the paper. But they do extraordinary work for the people of this state and for the people of the country. And that's what happened here. And they uncovered this story that Encarnacion Trujillo was part of the Battle of the Argonne Forest, which was fought from late September through November of 1918. Battle's largely a forgotten one, even though it was one of the largest and most deadly in American history. Over 26,000 Americans were killed. 96,000 were injured in the fierce and bloody battle there in the Argonne Forest. And Mr. Trujillo was wounded in his right shoulder when he was hit by shrapnel. But he stood his ground. And even though he was far from home and on foreign soil, he recognized and he believed in this principle of freedom. He believed in his country. And he was standing there to defend it. And so think of those numbers. 26,000 Americans killed, 96,000 injured. And some people might be a little cynical and say, well, Mr. Trujillo was just one man among the legions who fought in that battle. And I have always said, but he was indeed one man. He was just one, but he was one. And we often talk about the gates of history turning on really small hinges. And those hinges often turn on the commitment, the courage, the effort of ordinary but inspired individuals like Mr. Trujillo. He stood with his fellow soldiers, and individually, they were young, they were weak, they were inexperienced, but they were united in a cause of freedom. And they did their part, and because they stood, because they did their part, freedom did not falter that day. Now, my Mathesonian math method goes beyond pandemics and military battles. I have witnessed, I've read, I've heard stories of individuals who make a difference every day. It's why we talk about it on this show. And to the cynics and the skeptics who regularly question why bother or what one person can do, I think Dr. Seuss provided the perfect response to those mental curmudgeons. He wrote, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not. And so that cumulative effect of the good that's currently being sent out into the world by people like you, in communities like yours, in states like ours, in countries like this, we can make a difference. And not just now, but for a long time to come. Jack Camp said it this way. Jack Camp said, the power of one man or one woman doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time is the greatest influence in our society. So don't discount, don't dismiss what one person can do. With one act of service, one act of kindness, we may prove that we're not thinking big enough in the end. So one person can do one thing, and because of that, a community, a country, a kingdom can be saved. Miracles happen. It all adds up. It's Mathesonian math. I'm Boyd Matheson. Thanks for joining us on Inside Sources here today on KSL News Radio. And as always, as you go out into the world, see something that inspires, say something that uplifts, and do something today that'll make a difference.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.